Campgrounds Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from Radio City Music Hall in New York City on ESPN 850 WKNR and online at clevelandbrowns.com.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news tonight. Get photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. And, of course, great content will be on the website, the newly redesigned clevelandbrowns.com, all day long. Great articles from, of course, Notorious V.I.C., Vic Carucci, Kevin Jones. We will also have lots of videos. Yesterday we had some where I got to talk to some of the players at the Play 60 event. Very good interviews, I think, with Sammy Watkins. Some interesting stuff with him, Blake Bortles.
Very good.
So a lot of content out there for you to digest as we inch towards this draft, which will take place and begin in just over 6 hours here at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. That's where Vic and I are right now. And we're going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline to bring in the great Jason LaCanfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports, cbssports.com. J-Lox, what's going on, brother?
Matt, you guys are already in there?
We're among the first.
We opened the place.
We did.
I feel for you. You know what? Maybe, if you're a good boy, maybe I will run and try to get you an Angry Lobster and get it over there.
That would be too kind, J-Lox.
We'll see.
Hey, Jason. Time permitting. Jason, this is all about the rumor time. We just had Sal Palantonio join us. He's embedded in Berea, and you know he made an interesting point, having spent some time with Mike Pettine, that Mike Pettine would think about wanting Justin Gilbert, the cornerback from Oklahoma State, as the first Browns pick, not necessarily the fourth overall, because it sounded like it was in the context of a trade down with Atlanta. What are you hearing, whether it's Gilbert or whoever they might do, but what are you hearing about the trade down possibilities involving the Browns?
I haven't heard much, to be honest with you. I tend to think they're taking a quarterback at 26. You know, obviously things can change in an instant. I think all the corners are gone. I mean, I think the five corners are gone before 26. They'd have to move up, I believe, to get them. And I don't even know. It's hard to figure exactly where you have to move to. I mean, there's a lot of teams in the teams that could take corners. I think a bunch of them come off the board there. You know, I think Fuller could easily go to the Bears. I think Denard is a fit for the Steelers. They really like him. Somebody's going to jump on Gilbert before there. There's too much value there. I mean, Roby could possibly still be there. I think he goes to the Bengals. He's falling. There's some concerns about his character and whatnot. You know, maybe he's still there, but I mean, if you guys can't take a quarterback or him, I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting. They're going to have to pay Joe Hayden here soon enough. And then certainly they want someone to play out, you know, on the other side of him.
Sure.
But if they don't, look, they're in the market for a quarterback. I mean, I don't think I think everyone in the NFL would agree with that. So if you're not certain at quarterback and it's that big of an issue and you pass last year, you can only pass for so long. I mean, at some point, and look, I'm a Hoyer guy. I admittedly think he can do the job. I think he can be a winning starting quarterback in this league. But if you're trying to transcend that and you think there's the possibility to do that, and clearly they do, and if you spent this much time and energy researching quarterback, for me to now believe that, oh, yeah, we might just take a corner there, I mean, maybe, but I don't know. That's not passing my sniff test. Hey, did Sal Powell repackage my stuff about the analytics on Bridgewater and then report it today?
No, well, he did. I wouldn't say he repackaged anything. He made reference to it.
He mentioned it. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Speaking of that, Jason, the analytics report. Talk a little bit about that and educate the listeners on what you know, how you came to know about it, and also the timing of it coming out when it did. You know, on the heels of the Browns saying they're not going to take, or Jay Glazer reporting the Browns are not going to take Johnny Manziel on Tuesday. Now you reported yesterday on this analytics report that has Teddy Bridgewater as the top-rated quarterback based on that study. Just kind of talk about all that, the timing of it, and how you came to know about that, etc.
How I came to know about it? I'm not going to get into that. Come on, man.
All right.
I wasn't born yesterday. I just
fair enough.
Like I was. I mean, it doesn't matter how I found out about it. I actually knew of it for quite some time and got a little more detail as to which direction it pointed in, I don't know, in the last 72 hours.
Okay.
It's not connected to whatever Jay was doing in any way.
Right.
You know, and I'm not sure who he talked to. I tend to believe what Jay reported is a lot more likely to be true than what you know, others were reporting whatever 24 hours before that. I don't think they're taking Manziel at four. Could there be some scenario that unfolds where that happens? I guess. But in terms of the report itself, you know, I guess it's something that I was told sort of filtered through various members of the organization. You know, Alex Shiner, the very forward-thinking guy there. You guys know him well. That was sort of his brainchild, and, you know, Joe Banner was still running things at the time. And so he sort of, you know, gave Joe a template of what it might look like. And Joe obviously had to approve the budget and sign off on it. And I don't even know. I don't know that. I think Joe was gone by the time the full results were in, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I mean, it took into effect all various metrics, not just statistics, but tape as well. You know, it was something that they felt like, you know, analyzed decades of quarterbacks and made comparisons and tried to take all these millions of different factors that go in to why some of these guys succeed and why they don't, and try to help it make them have a more educated decision when it came time to pick one of these guys. And it certainly would not be the deciding factor. It'd be part of the evidence that they gathered. But I tend to think it matters to some degree, or you're not spending that kind of money on it, you know, and investing that sort of time in it. So we'll see. You know, the way they set up their organization now, post Joe Banner, is a lot different than before in terms of decision making power. So
you've got coaches,
you've got analytics, you've got a general manager, you've got scouts, and you've got an owner. And I'm sure there's varying opinions about these kids. But I still think when push comes to shove, if the draft goes anywhere close to how I think it will, that being the caveat, at 26, I think they take a quarterback, and I think it's Bridgewater.
I certainly would love that. As you know, I'm a big fan of Theodore's, and hearing this analytic report also kind of confirming that thinking is certainly positive to me. Talking about the quarterback position, though, it seems, the sense that I'm getting here in New York right now, Jason, is that teams are cooling on them, and we could see these guys all kind of slide down, and it's a chance that maybe a quarterback doesn't even go in the top 10.
It's certainly a chance. I mean, look, I've done a million different mocks. I mean, I finally did one for real that I filed. I don't know if it's on the website yet at CBSSports.com or not, but, you know, you go through all these scenarios over days and weeks, and you can see scenarios where two go in the top seven. You can see scenarios where no one goes to maybe 13 or 16 or maybe lower. I still think, though, that they come off the board. I mean, 11, who nobody's talking about, Tennessee. I mean, if things fall a certain way, a guy like Carl Bortles, I'm told Ken Wisenhunt is comfortable with. Now, do you dine to have him at 11? No, but in certain circumstances, that may be on their board, it might make sense. St. Louis, I'm sorry, I still think if Johnny Manziel's there at 13, that they think long and hard about it, and he's in the equation. If they ultimately don't pick him, so be it. But I don't know if he's there at 13, he gets by them. I do buy that Jerry Jones also considers him. Arizona at 20, Derek Carr, Bortles, one of those two very well could end up there. So, you know, even if they slide, like let's say the first one goes 13, you might still, you know, I think you still could have three between 13 and before the Browns pick, because, and even if the Browns don't take the last guy of those four, I think New England, New Orleans, maybe even Denver. Probably not them. Denver's still all in for this year. But New England and New Orleans, I could see, if there's a guy there who they think makes sense and is their next quarterback and they can redshirt him behind Brady or Brees for a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is.
Sure.
But you know, they think they've got the next guy, then I think they take it there. You know, that would not surprise me in the least.
Jason LaConfora, insider for CBS Sports, NFL insider, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, broadcasting from the Radio City Music Hall in New York, getting this stage all set up for tonight's NFL draft. The countdown is about 6 hours away before the commissioner says that the Houston Texans are on the clock. And with that in mind, Jason, let's talk about any kind of crazy things or whatever you're hearing regarding this top end, because it still doesn't seem to me like anyone has it completely rooted to say this is Jadeveon Clowney and call it a day.
I mean, I think it's Jadeveon Clowney. It may not be the Texans. I believe it'll be the first pick one way or the other. A lot of it's being held up by what, you know, when do the Texans, in my opinion, come back to reality and understand that, you know, you're not going to get as much as you thought for this thing. And they've already started to recalibrate. And no, I think the price continues to drop because people are calling their bluff, and they really don't have an ace in the hole. If they're 100% all in on Jadeveon Clowney, they would have started marketing that by now. They would be selling their fan base on it. They would be approaching this. They wouldn't be telling everybody how open for business they are, but then asking for the moon. That price will come down. you know, they could drop back to six and still have two of the four guys they're considering on the board. So I just think there's too much potential for that to happen. Arthur Blank's a mover and a shaker as an owner. Thomas Dimitroff likes to make these moves. As they don't want to trade their two, and they won't. They feel like they have to get a tackle probably in the second round this year. But they'll trade this next year's one. They'll trade this year's three. Maybe that's enough to get it done. But I still think, you know, somebody moves up there. And then once that falls into place, a few other things happen. But I think we could see two trades in the top 10 easily. I mean, I can see a scenario where Houston trades back twice. I mean,
right.
Houston could trade back to six. And what if there's still two quarterbacks on the board?
And that's why it is, you know, certainly going to be interesting.
Mack and Clowney are gone, but there's two quarterbacks there. And you know, Detroit maybe wants to come up for Greg Robinson, who could fall. I mean, I can see scenarios where, actually, in my mock, I get it. I mean, I put Houston trading back twice and taking Bortles at 10.
And that would be interesting. Jason, final question for me. For this night to go as well for the Browns as our night went last night, a quality night as it were, who do the Browns take at 4-26? What would be, in your mind, the ideal haul for the Cleveland Browns tonight?
Wow. I mean, I'm with you. I think Bridgewater is worth exploring, especially at 26. So if they went Watkins and Bridgewater, I think, you know, that would make a lot of sense to me.
All right. Sal, great stuff. Really appreciate it, man. Sal.
You got it.
J-Lock.
Jason, we talked to Sal. We talked to you. But thank you so much, and enjoyed our time with you here in New York as well, always, brother.
Have a good one, guys. See you tonight.
All right, J-Locks.
He is Jason LaConfora. And he is the man. He is wired in and given us the insight as what is going on with not only the Browns draft, but the draft overall. Lots of different opinions and ideas, and it's nice to get that variety. That's what we're all about. We're going to resume our mock draft. We're going to take you from picks 11 through 21 next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, this draft day edition, as we broadcast from Radio City Music Hall in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. All of that coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR. I was on an upswing, though I could hardly.